Yes, people, welcome back to the podcast, Cricket Talks. I'm Mo, and it's been a while, man. It's been about 16, 17 days since I last dropped an episode. It should be weekly. I used to be dropping episodes regularly, like every few days. But yeah, the PSL got postponed, and I took a bit of a step back. I was focusing on some other content that I wanted to get out, as well as taking a little bit of a break from the cricket side of things, since the only thing that were going on were the overseas tours, which were at stupid times, so I couldn't really record those anyway. But we're back, and we're going to be talking through an exciting series launching this summer. As you guys know, the 100 tournament is launching this summer by the ECB, a brand new format different to T20 cricket with the Vitality Blast and T10 cricket in Abu Dhabi. Brand new rules, new teams, and brand new mix of players that we normally don't get. So yeah, that's the series is going to be about. As you've seen with the PSL series, I broke everything inside down. I'm going to be doing the same with this with a bit of a twist. Now, what we're going to be doing is this episode is going to be introductory. I'm going to be letting you know the teams, the venues, my thoughts and opinions, the rules, all that kind of stuff. And the forthcoming eight, whether there's episodes in between these to do with the IPL, it might just happen, but eight episodes after this is going to be included in the series, where I talk through every single side. I'll be joined by a guest, whether it's Asjad, Will Burford, or Aaron, the cricket connoisseur, as people know him. I'll be joined by these guests, and we'll be breaking down sides, and what we're going to do is make our playing 11 from each of these. That way it's a bit more interesting. You'll get to know what our playing 11 looks like from each of these sides, as well as a justification when we make those selections. So let's get straight into it. So 100 ball tournament is a brand new format to T20 cricket, T10 cricket. I guess the first thing that comes to people's mind with the T10 cricket as well was, could this kind of sport, could this format make the Olympics? Now, personally, at 2.5 hours, which is what it's estimated to take, which sounds about right, probably not. I'd probably say that the T10 has a better chance because it's 60 balls per innings, and it's just a lot more, the rules are a lot more common and a lot more well known. I think the 100 tournament, its rules might take a little bit of time getting used to. That being said, they are very, very interesting, and that's the next thing we're going to talk about. So with the rules, the teams are pretty simple, 11 aside as it always is. We're going to have 3 international signings per team. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't actually have full clarification on this, but whether the Kolpak players, or what used to be Kolpak players, are going to be counting as international signings, because we've got some really big players in there, such as Van der Mar, who is going to be an extremely handy player to have, left arm spin, the odd swing at the bat. So he's just one of the players that we can mention from that point. Now, the next rule is that every single 10 balls, the fielding side changes. And at the same time, how the bowlers work, it's not going to be 6 aside because it's 100 balls. They've made it with 5 or 10 consecutive balls as an over. So a captain could decide to bowl Shaheen Afridi for 5 balls, and he might then choose Pat Brown to bowl the next 5 balls, or Pat Brown can bowl the entire 10. This is going to be handy for when there's sort of defense needed. A bowler is bowling particularly well for first 4 balls. They bowl okay on the 5th ball, might get hit for 4 runs. But then the captain, in this case, I'd assume is Moin Ali or Kane Williamson, might decide to keep them on for the next 5 balls. That for me is going to be really interesting. To be honest, I don't know whether I'm positive or negative to this, but I do know it's going to be interesting. It's going to make a game a lot more interesting, when in general cricket, T20 cricket is probably something I want to make a comparison to a lot. There might be 6 balls of a good over from Pat Brown, for example, from Birmingham Phoenix, and then he can't bowl the next 6 or the next 5 in that case, to solidify a defense against a particularly good batting side. So in that case, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. The next rule is that the bowling spells are a maximum of 20 balls per over, so 20 balls per bowler. So that in that case, you can have 4 5 ball overs, or 2 10 ball overs, or 2 fives and 1 10. So again, that's going to be an interesting rule to see how it plays out. I think these kind of rules, especially because it's, there's a lot more rules based on the bowler's end and how they can manipulate all these kind of stuff, I think it's going to make the game a little bit more even, because as people know, cricket is regarded as the batsman's game. I think with all these new shots invented, ramp shots, and the ability to score 360, it's made it so much harder to be a bowler, and the economy rate that's expected to be hit around in T20 cricket and T10 cricket is just rising, to be honest. So I think this way, the bowlers get a bit more of an advantage, or even just leveling the playing field. So that for me is going to be another interesting rule. Now, the next rules I'm going to say are the ones that I find most interesting, and that is the timeout. Now, every team gets a strategic timeout of 2.5 minutes, and that is the bowling side. Now, the coach can come out to the middle, and they can literally discuss tactics with the mid-game. We've seen timeouts being used in pretty much all tournaments. We've seen it in IPL, we've seen it in Vitality Blast after 12 overs. We've seen it in most tournaments. But the fact that the coach come down is, for me, going to be a game changer. I'm probably going to mention this in forthcoming episodes with my guests. But yeah, it's going to be a game changer because coaches, and they have analysts obviously in the hub, they can find out things about batsmen that the bowler or the captain may not have clocked on earlier on or on the pitch in real time because of pressures and all that kind of stuff. So that, for me, I think is good. Again, make the game a little bit more level, a bit more of an even playing field, as the bowlers can bowl in particular areas that they might not realise that the batsman has a weakness in. So that, for me, is my favourite rule out of all the stuff that's been discussed in the 100. Now, next to the power play. Now, in T20 cricket, you have a 36-ball power play, which accounts for 6 overs out of the 20. Now, in the 100, it's going to be a quarter of the inning. That's 25 balls. And then with the fielding set out in the power play and in outside, it's going to be the same as T20 cricket. Within the power play, you have 2 fielders outside the circle. Now, another cool thing they've done is integrate the women's and men's games all together, which I find is going to be a really cool aspect of the tournament. And the reason I say this is because we've seen that tournaments have been cancelled. I think the women's one in India isn't going ahead this year. And just in general, if we have the Vitality Blast and the Kia Super League, for example, there'll be separate dates, and the men's will probably go ahead first, or the women's, sorry, go ahead first, and then the men's play out. So it's completely different tournaments. It's almost as if there's 2 completely different audiences as well. But what they've done with the 100 is they've made the tournaments, they made the games so that the team, so that the men's or the women's play first and the men's play directly after on the same ground, or they play the same time the next day with the same fixture. So Birmingham Phoenix versus Manchester Originals will take place on one day, and then the men's one could play straight after that, or it can play on the next day, which I think is going to be so important. And the reason I say that is it's going to pass over a lot of people's heads, but it's going to bring so many more people. It's going to be a cricket-hungry audience out there. We haven't had as much cricket as we would have liked, especially with the biosecure bubbles. It's made fixtures harder, despite getting out a decent amount of cricket. But we're going to have hungry cricket fans waiting to watch as much cricket as possible in live stands. And the ability to, you know, sit there and watch a men's game for 2.5 hours, and then actually, if they're still wanting to, because it's not as long as people will say in T20 cricket, they can actually stay back and watch the second game, or they can come back the next day and watch the women's game. So that, for me, I think is going to be a game changer. It's going to bring tons of people watching women's cricket, which I think is obviously the another big aim for the ECB and for world cricket as a whole. So that, for me, is probably, again, I'd say my second favorite thing about the 100 as a whole. First of all, with the timeout rule, I think that's going to be a game changer, as much as it sounds geeky to say that. And secondly, obviously, the traffic of people that are going to be watching women's cricket, because I think this, out of most decisions made to increase women's cricket, from creating the Kia Super League to the Women's Big Bash League and all this kind of stuff, I think this could be one of the game changers, just making the women's and men's cricket together. And the fact that it's not a particularly long game means that people are more willing to stay back and watch the rest of the games or watch the women's game in general. So that, for me, is going to be my favorite thing about it. And, you know, the 100 as a whole, we'll get onto my opinions now before we end it off. Now, let's get onto my opinions quickly before we end it off. Now, the other thing that I like about this tournament is I think it's going to be a game changer for ECB's growth in players in county cricket. The reason I say this is I'm going to use an example, London Spirit. London Spirit has Dan Lawrence in there, an upcoming player for the ECB, has made his test debut. He's yet to make his ODI and T20 debut, but we all know what he's capable of, a solid all-rounder, off-spin and stroke player, as well as a aggressive T20 batsman when it's needed. He won the Vitality Blast with Essex in the last Vitality Blast season. And the fact that he's going to be in the same team with signings such as Mohammad Nabi and Glenn Maxwell, who to a degree are like-for-like players. They both bowl off-spin. Mohammad Nabi is the best all-rounder in the world right now, and they're both aggressive batsmen. Think about the amount of the impact that that could make on Dan Lawrence's game. We could see him playing for England much sooner than we think, just learning so many tips from those two kind of players in the same side for a period of time, compared to general county cricket, where a team, depending on their funding, may only sign one player every few seasons, and that's really dependent on how much money they actually have to spend on OVC signing. So that for me is going to be a game changer. Every season to be signing these kind of players, it's going to be a game changer for England cricket. I think we're going to see county players and young players coming through are going to develop so much faster. Pat Brown, for example, is just another one who's made his England T20 debut, but it's going to learn a whole lot more from the players like Shaheen Afridi. He can even teach Shaheen a few slower balls. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the 100 as a whole. Let me know what you guys think of the 100. How do you think of the teams, the rules, what's your favorite rules, all that kind of stuff. Let me know in the comments. If you're listening on audio, Spotify and Apple, you can DM it to me. You can go to the YouTube video that you're watching right now, hopefully, and comment it down below. I've been Mo. Make sure you keep subscribing to my channel. We're closing down on 100 subscribers. If you're listening on audio, please follow the podcast, stream other episodes, and let me know what you think of all of this. Stream other stuff, follow, like, share, review, rate, keep pushing us up the charts. As I said, the goal is to end up in as many top 100 charts by the end of the year. I think we've got listeners now from Brazil and Italy, which is crazy to think of. But yeah, I've been Mo. Make sure you're subscribed, keep watching my stuff, and we'll see you soon.